And welcome to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Shelley Kerr. You can give me a call tonight at 1-888-268-4313. And you can visit my website at galactichealing.org. So I've been off of the air for a while. I just got back from India, where I spent an amazing 3 weeks having one of the most incredible spiritual journeys of my life. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about that. I am your guest. I am my own guest tonight, and I will be talking about India. I want to talk to you about my work in past life regression therapies and why that's important to me and why you may be interested in looking into that yourself. This coming weekend, I will be in Santa Fe at the La Fonda Hotel speaking at the International Conference on Science and Consciousness on my book, Beyond Reality, Evidence of Parallel Universes. So we'll chat a little bit about parallel universes. And another topic I love, if time permits, we'll talk about gem and mineral healing and my book, Edgar Cayce's Guide to Gemstones, Minerals, Metals, and more. So, to kick it off, I just wanted to talk to you about where I've been the last month, because this is really, I think it's important that people hear about India. I really feel that, because it was such an amazing place, and I think everybody should go there at least once in their lifetime. I went out there the beginning of March to speak at a conference called the World Congress on Research and Regression Therapies, and it's really refreshing to have gone there to India, because in the United States, as you know, past life therapies are not always readily accepted, but of course in India that's part of the religion and that's part of the culture. And so we met over in Delhi, which is in northern India, and there were 250 people from all over the world who were all doing past life regression therapy, which is absolutely incredible. I mean, people from Brazil, the Netherlands, England, yeah, of course you expect it from there. But, I mean, even Russia, Mexico City, I met a great woman from Mexico City. So it was really great. Just to compare notes, there's a lot of good work being done out here in the world. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. So we went to the conference for about 5 days, ran around Delhi, and while we were there, one of the most incredible things happened when this friend of mine, this new friend who I met at the conference, was telling me about a book that she read by Deepak Chopra, where he had talked about going to Delhi, India, and having his nadi leaves read. And so she wanted to go have this leaf reading. And she told me that she was going to travel to the south of India after the conference to go have this special kind of reading. And I said, well, what is this? And she told me that what it is, this is all going to become important in a minute, but what happened is apparently a couple thousand years ago, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, these ancient sages recorded these messages on these bamboo leaves that are now in this cryptic language it's actually a dead language that in theory nobody can actually understand. And so what happened is, apparently you can show up to a leaf reader and they will go and search for your leaves. And you may or may not have them, because apparently not very many people have their leaves. But in the book that she had read, Deepak Chopra said that they had found his leaves in Delhi, and they gave him this incredible reading. And so my friend, I just said, man, I got to do this. I don't know why, but I just really want to have this reading done. And I said, can we get it done in Delhi? Because I was going to be traveling around some other places, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to go, to wherever she was going. And so she had one of our tour guides kind of do some research for us. And so one day I was sitting in one of the lectures, and she comes up, Shelley, where have you been? You're not going to believe this, but I found a leaf reader in Delhi, and I went to have them look for my leaves, and you weren't around, and I said, well, where is it? I heard this kind of voice in my head say, go now, go down. So I got the address, and I took the cab over there with this other friend of mine. And what they do, so I walk into this place. This is in these people's house, and I walk into the place, and what they do is they take your thumbprint And that is the only piece of information that they take. So you've got your thumbprint, and then they take the thumbprint upstairs, and they start searching around. And then if they find your leaf or whatever, then they'll come downstairs and tell you. So we're sitting there, and we're all excited, and they came downstairs, and they said, "Hey, we found it." And I said, "Oh, my God," you know. So they put me in this room, and there's these two guys there. One of them does not speak any English. He only speaks Hindi, and then the other guy is the translator. But what he's looking, like, the leaves look about like, you know, like an incense box. They're about the size of an incense box, and they've got this cryptic language on them. I mean, it looks like scribbling. I have no idea what it's saying. And so the guy who's reading, he's the guy who doesn't speak any English. So he kind of goes into like a trance where he's like, you know, he's like got this whole mantra thing going on. And then he'll say something, and then it'll be like, blah, you know, and then the translator will go, you know, "You live in Texas," or, you know, whatever it is about me. And so it's kind of hard for me to explain how this works, but it's like they'll start reading and they'll say, you know, "You lived in New York City," and I'll say, "Nope." And then so they go, "Okay, that's not you." And they'll flip on to the next leaf and they'll go, "You live in Texas." "Yes, that's me." "You live in Texas, but your name is Jane." "No, that's not me." And so they flip the next leaf, and then they go, "You live in Texas, and your name is whatever." And so they keep going through this process of elimination. And what it is that I found out later is apparently, okay, because they took your thumbprint, apparently there are a bunch of souls out here, because you know that your thumbprint is kind of like your DNA, like there's no other person alive that has your thumbprint, but apparently there's people who have a similar thumbprint to me. And so they told me when I ended up finally having the actual reading that my thumbprint belongs in this certain category or whatever of thumbprints. And so what was really freaky is they start to tell me all this stuff about myself, but then maybe a lot of things are a fit, but then maybe one thing isn't. And so it's kind of like all these people who have a similar thumbprint to me apparently have a lot of things in common with me, which is really, really strange. So finally they go through one stack and they haven't found it. Then they go through the second stack and he finally flips open this leaf and he goes, "Your dad's name is," and he named my dad. He named my mother. He told me that I was born on April 19th at 8:01 p.m. And he told me the year I was born, the day of the week. And I was freaking out. I mean, and then certain things about like my brother, and I mean, things that I'm telling you that there is absolutely no way these people could have known. And so what ended up happening was my friend who originally told me about it, they ended up finding her leaves there too. The girl who I drug with me the first day I went, her leaves were there, and three other people. And so the question I asked my friends was, what is the likelihood of all of us meeting here, quote, randomly, and having this synchronicity happen? Because every single one of these women, we were all, you know, all of these are women that I'm talking about, who had their leaves there, they all got these profound messages with things that are so deeply personal that, like I said, we can't even talk about them on the radio, I'm telling you. And so what I'm thinking is that the six of us may have made like an agreement or whatever, and that I believe that the people who wrote these leaves, probably it was us. Like, it was us sending ourselves a message through time. Isn't that wild? And then, you know, I wrote this book about parallel universes called Beyond Reality, and the whole gist of the book is about the fact that I am trying to tell you that I think that you have control over your life, and that if you choose to have a great day today, you're going to have a great day, and if you choose that things are going to mess you up, then they're going to mess you up. And this book talks all about, you know, some of the scientific work that's being done right now in the quantum field, and the fact that they really do believe, like that every time you choose to drink a glass of water instead of a coffee, that there's another reality where you are at Starbucks and you're not having that water or whatever, and that all these different parallel universes are being created at every single moment based on our thoughts and our decisions and things. And so this whole idea that these guys in the middle of India are able to tell me certain things about myself, because they actually told me, they said, you are going to show, it actually said in there that I will show up there before my 39th birthday, which happens to be tomorrow. So I was I destined to show up there, and I was running up against the deadline, because this trip to India, I mean, I've had that trip planned for 2 years. And it was just like, as soon as I heard about it, I said, I have to go. I have to go to India. It doesn't matter whether I'm speaking at a conference or not. I'm glad that's happening, but I have to go there. And all the people that I'm talking about, these friends of mine, it was like we were having this big love fest. I mean, this is kind of one of the beautiful things about being in the spiritual community, right? I mean, and I'm sure this happens to you. Like you're out somewhere, you go to one of these, you know, holistic fairs, and you meet all these great people, and you know, you just fall in love with them. You feel like you've known them for, you know, your whole life. And I believe that that's true, because I certainly believe that we've lived it before. But, you know, there's some people you may really have an affinity for them, but then there's others. I mean, I'm saying, like, these women, I mean, they're like sisters. Like, I would do anything. If they called right now and they needed something, I mean, we'd have to get off. We would just have to stop the show right now, because I'd have to go do something for them. I mean, we are really that tight. We had never met each other before. But yet, I am convinced that we had some kind of a date with destiny where we agreed to show up in India together to get this, to have this whole, you know, cosmic experience. Isn't that wild? So anyway, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'll tell you about the haunted palace in Jaipur, the palace where Princess Diana stayed in 1991. And if you want to give us a call, you may call us. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 1-888-268-4313. You're listening to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. Give me a call, 1-888-268-4313. You can visit my websites at www.galactichealing.org or beyondrealityshow.com. Before we continue with our chat about India, I wanted to let you know that I'm going to be, the next few weeks, there will be some recorded interviews I'm going to be doing tomorrow with some very exciting authors. Mr. Dan Millman, the author of The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, is going to be joining me. He's got a brand new book out called Journeys of Socrates. This is a really awesome book. And so we're going to be talking to him. So check the schedule at BBS Radio. Also, one of my favorite people in the world, Dr. Fred Alan Wolf. You know him as Captain Quantum from the movie What the Bleep Do We Know. He's going to be joining me to talk about his new book, The Yoga of Time Travel. And Dr. Fred, Dan Millman, and I will all be at the International Conference on Science and Consciousness this weekend in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Jay-Z Knight will be there, Greg Braden, and you can see that on the web by going to my website. You can click on the link at galactichealing.org. Also, in the coming weeks, I'll have an interview with Jean-Claude Colvin, author of the book Going Deeper, How to Make Sense of Your Life When Your Life Makes No Sense. I think we've all felt that way from time to time. So back to our discussion now. So I wanted to tell you about this interesting place I went to called Jaipur, India, after we left Delhi and we had this whole cosmic experience at the Leaf Reader. I traveled with a group of people from the conference to a city south of Delhi called Jaipur. It is an ancient fortress, a walled city, and it's in the oldest mountain range in India. It's very beautiful. And we stayed at this incredible palace that is still owned by the royal family. And this is in the state, just like the United States has different states within the United States. So this is in the state of Rajasthan. And so there's a king and queen of Rajasthan, the state, and they own this palace, but they've converted it into a hotel. And what was most interesting, it was like a couple hundred years old, but because it's still owned by the monarchs, they always have dignitaries stay there. So in 1991, Princess Di actually stayed there, and there were photographs of her on the wall. Jackie Onassis had stayed there, and, you know, all these celebrities and everything. It was pretty neat. And so the palace, though, I mean, it had some freaky energy. Not bad energy, but just you could tell that the place was teeming with spiritual activity. Partly, I mean, I don't know, I don't even want to say it was haunted, I don't know. There's just certain, you may know what I'm talking about, there's just certain older places when you go in there, you can kind of almost feel that something must have happened there. There was a huge staircase, like a marble staircase in the center of the place. You know, like when you see on the movies and the princess is coming down the stairs or whatever. And at the foot of that staircase, there was just this really almost sad energy there. And I don't know. I kept having dreams about the people who worked there. Not, they weren't, like, it wasn't bad, but it was just strange. I would wake up going, you know, and I'd look around and I'd think, you know, maybe they were there, or, and I'd be like, where am I? Sometimes when I travel a lot, I don't know where I am, but that's another story. So we left there, and we went to a city called Khajuraho. That was the next stop. Khajuraho is famous because all of the tantric temples are there. Like, if you look in the Kama Sutra books, those friezes there that you see in there, they are actually all right there on the outside of the temple walls. So that was pretty amazing. That was one of the most amazing temple structures that I think I'd ever seen. And then from there, we traveled to the city of Varanasi, which is known as one of the oldest cities in the world. It's like the spiritual center of the Hindu religion. And it's in Varanasi that Buddha gave his first sermon there. And this was right on the mouth of the Ganges. And so we arrived there at sunset, and we hopped in one of those canoes like the ones you see on TV. And they do this big fire ceremony every night where they pray to their god. And these little children come up, and they sell you these little candles. So we lit our candles, and we're supposed to put them in the river and just watch them sail away. So we did that, and then we witnessed some of the funeral services, because there's a big crematorium right there on the river where people are bringing the dead down to the river and participating in a big ritual of cleansing the spirit and everything. It was mind-bending, to say the least. And then the next morning we got up and we went to the sunrise ceremony, so they do the whole ceremony all over again. And I'm talking about, I mean, they've got drumming, they've got huge incense clouds, and everybody singing and clapping their hands. I mean, then we watched the pilgrims bathing in the Ganges. It was honestly one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. Because prior to that, it was kind of toward the end of the trip that we had gone there, I was really pretty much worn out. But after I felt the energy of Varanasi, I was blown away. It was, yeah. It kind of uplifted me. And so I was able to go on. And so I ended up going next on my own over to Nepal, to the city of Kathmandu, where there are a lot of Buddhist stupas there. And apparently, I didn't even know it until I got there, but Buddha was actually born there in a city south of Kathmandu. And so in Kathmandu, this is the city where all the trekkers go because they're going up to go to Mount Everest, and so that was pretty amazing. And that place had wonderful energy. I'm a big fan of the Buddha, and so I very much enjoyed this space. And the reason, I guess, why I enjoy traveling, maybe you know what I'm talking about, but I really feel like our souls are on a journey in this lifetime to either relive or try to come in contact with things from the past. And I'm pretty sure I have definitely lived in India and Nepal at some time in a previous incarnation. You know, I don't know. You just know when you get there. The other thing I wanted to say about India, before we totally shift gears here, you know, it's really interesting there because there's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of chaos. I mean, there's cows running around in the street, which is kind of neat, really, because they know everybody loves them because they're sacred. But there's, like, honking horns. There's a lot of pollution and, you know, a lot of, like, outer chaos. But the thing is that the people there energetically feel more peaceful than the people in the United States. It's as if the chaos is, because it's being expressed in the outer world, then it allows the inner world to be more peaceful. Because haven't you ever noticed, if you're running around the suburbs of the United States, that, I mean, I can look out here in my suburb here in Dallas, Texas right now, and it looks like there's nothing going on out there. Everything's clean and everything's quiet and in its place. But what goes on behind closed doors, or what goes on within our minds here, you know, I'm just talking about in general, is not always as peaceful. And I really think that, you know, as we approach the 2012 era, that we're all, as you know, going through planetary shifts and different ways of looking at things. And so I guess I just wanted to maybe bring that into your awareness. You know, how peaceful are we really? When I first came back here to the States, it was almost as if I had reverse culture shock. I really felt when I was in India that I, on some level, I had experienced inner peace. I want to say it's a strange feeling, but, I mean, I've been meditating for a long time, but there's just something very, I don't know, peaceful over there. I mean, I guess because it's the cradle of civilization, one of them, you know? So when I came back here, during a couple of weeks, I mean, I had to really work. I had to really do a lot of meditation, and because I could feel that inner, I don't know what, pressure, or I don't know what you want to call it, kind of building. And I thought, wow, you know, I don't want to feel like that. I want to feel peaceful. You know, all is as it should be. All is well. And then about a week ago, I went to a service at the Unity Church of Dallas. They had an Indian teaching going on there from India. And just getting back into that energy was really helpful to bring me back into that centeredness and that peaceful space. And so I just thought I'd run that by you. Maybe you can ponder that. How peaceful are you on a daily basis? You can give me a call at 888-268-4313. You're listening to Beyond Reality. I'm Shelley Kerr. And what, I mean, particularly the people listening to this radio network, the messages that are going out right now and the work that's being done through this network is really, really positive as far as trying to get everyone prepared emotionally, spiritually, energetically for all of the shifts that are coming? I mean, I'm sure you can feel the shifts already happening. I mean, just energetically, there's just things happening. More and more people are being opened up to spirituality. And slowly but surely, I really believe we are beginning to create the world that we really want to live in. But as peaceful as I thought I felt before I went to India, I can say for myself that I realized once I got there that I wasn't as peaceful as I could have been. And so now I feel that I'm striving to be more peaceful at a deeper level than I was even previously aware of. Because I think that all of the things that are going on around us, I was talking to a friend the other day, I mean, these days, you know, I'm sure you just got done like I did doing my taxes for the year, filing our taxes. And that, for me, is kind of a time of the year to look back on the previous year for various reasons, because I'm adding up different things. But, you know, it's a time when I really sit and reflect in the months of March and April as I'm preparing for that, you know, like, where have I been? What all, you know, remembering all the things that happened last year and, you know, expressing gratitude and all of those things that we're taught to do. But I was also thinking about, you know, in the old days, I mean, I don't want to say the old days, but the society has become more technologically driven. I mean, I don't have to tell you that because of that, we're obsessed with technology, and I think it's really taking something away from just being personal with people, because we are responsible personally now for so many more things than we used to be. We book our own travel, we do our own taxes, we've got to make our own investments and our own decisions, and now we've got to go do this and do that. And then we've got the media that's bombarding us with advertising, and we've got all these choices and decisions. And I mean, it's just no wonder that we're really not that peaceful here. Because we don't have as much service as we used to have. That we are expected to do everything ourselves. I mean, not that we shouldn't do things for ourselves, but man. I mean, you know how people always say, oh, in the good old days, oh, it was so much simpler. But, you know, I mean, I've talked to my parents and my grandparents, and they're just like, they cannot believe compared to how it used to be. I mean, and I really can see that, you know, if you really think about the last 50 years, the technology certainly has been a blessing in many ways, but maybe it has also, I think, you know, hindered us to a certain degree, too. That maybe we really do need to think about getting together, and I think that, you know, we do that as best we can through different gatherings, different spiritual gatherings and things like that. I went to a fire over the weekend. This woman in town is a sacred fire keeper, and so she has us all over to her house once a month, and we light the fire, and we all sit around, and we make offerings to the fire, not in a really, kind of in a ritualistic way, or just a kind of creating a sacred space and honoring Mother Nature kind of way, you know. And it's really neat because just sitting around the fire with people, it just kind of reminds me of when I was a kid. You know, we used to go camping, or maybe you were in Scouts. I don't know if you were, but I was. And it's just really kind of neat to just get away from the TV, away from the computers, away from the racket, and just really create a natural space within the city or wherever that we're living. Because, I mean, where I live right now, I mean, there's not a lot of nature going on out here. I mean, there is. I mean, like I said, I think it's more of a mindset, you know, but it's not, I don't live in the mountains or anything right now. And so I think that each one of us, if you're living in a, you know, a very large city like I am, we've got like 6.5 million people in Dallas now, that it's real important right now that we take time to get out in nature. And what does that mean? I mean, I could sit around telling you why there's no nature here, but yes, there is. I mean, I could go out to my lawn. I can go across the street. There's a park there. You know, just walking in the park, spending time, like, with friends in front of the fire, things like that. I think that's really important for us right now to really keep us grounded, because the energy right now is shifting, particularly this year. I personally felt that there's been kind of I feel that the vibrational frequencies around the planet are increasing steadily. And I think that there's been a really, really big shift that just happened in the last few months. So it's just something that we all need to be aware of. Like, how are we going to become peaceful and just relax? And, you know, all this stuff that we're having to do every day, just kind of saying, okay, it's all going to get done and all is well and everything's okay. You're listening to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. I'm Shelley Kerr. I wanted to talk a little bit about past life regression and why that can be so valuable. Several of you probably have heard me before. I always tell the story about how I got interested in this after a friend of mine was killed in a hiking accident. And I saw his spirit in the window of my house. And someone suggested to me that I go have a past life regression to help heal the grief that I had over his untimely demise. And the past life regression therapy was hands down the most valuable and insightful thing that I had ever done in my life up to that point. I think that, well, actually, yeah, I had a guy come in yesterday for a session. And his purpose for doing that was he was just curious, you know, about who he had been. And he was asking me, so how many times have you had this done? And I told him, well, you know, I really haven't had that many past life regressions. I mean, not more than even a dozen. Because I truly do believe it's a tool. And it's not important specifically to know who you were in a past life, in my opinion, as much as it is to be able to go there and to be able to understand why the things that you experienced in that past life are applicable to what you are doing in your current life. There are, the thing I guess I find most valuable about it is that when you go back there, you really have all the answers within yourself. And I feel like I have the greatest job in the world just to be a facilitator and to just be with people who allow me to accompany them on their journey, because it's really your journey. It's not, you know, it's not like I'm doing something. I mean, the person, or you in this case, you really get to go there and experience it firsthand so that the information has a really deep meaning to you that I think transcends even having a regular reading done, because you're actually in it and you actually see it with your own eyes. You feel it and you're there. And the shifts and things that can take place are absolutely profound. And I think that, again, as we're getting towards this big shift, that it's kind of a really good idea to do any, whatever kind of modality it is that you want to do, to start clearing things up, preparing, feeling more peaceful, understanding self at a deeper level, because I believe that the soul is going through different patterns of behavior that, you know, that you're going through over and over and over and over again in different lifetimes. I really believe that you and I have a purpose, that there really is a reason why you're here, and that's the other major part of my work, is people come in and they go, gosh, you know, I know I'm supposed to be doing something. It's particularly in the last couple of years, because we're all getting this big wake-up call right now. You know, a lot of people are in jobs they can't stand, or they're in situations or relationships or whatever. They know this isn't good for them. They know there's something they're supposed to be doing, but they just can't quite put their finger on it. And this is a very, very valuable way to go within yourself, so that you will tell yourself what it is that is for your highest good, that is at the soul level. Because when you understand why you're here, then you can move forward. the other big piece of my work. So people come in and they're saying, well, I'm stuck. I don't know where I'm going. I feel like I'm supposed to do something in the future. So I began taking people out into possible futures. And I personally believe, you know, we kind of got into this at the beginning of the show when I was talking about the leaf readers. You know, what aspect of this is our own choosing, and what aspect of this is our destiny? And I guess I believe at this point it's probably a combination of both. Because when I went to the leaf reader, what ended up happening, back to that story, is that once they identified the set of leads that they knew belonged to me, then you have to set an appointment. So I set an appointment and I went back 2 days later, and then they read the leaves and supposedly were going to tell me all about my future. In between those 2 days that me and my friends were supposed to come back to hear what they were going to tell us about our future, you know, this really created a lot of anxiety in us, because I had never been to any psychic or any astrologer or anybody who was telling me such specific information about myself as these people were. And because they had truly convinced me that this was the real deal, I started feeling a lot of anxiety, like, well, because supposedly they can tell you, like, when you're going to die and all kinds of stuff. And I thought, man, what if I don't want to know that? Or what if I'm leaving pretty soon? Or, you know, and I think a lot of us really had a lot of anxiety. We were having trouble sleeping, and we were talking about it, and it created this big debate at the conference where we were all talking about choice versus destiny and all this kind of stuff. And so it was really kind of cool, you know, to bring this kind of philosophical debate out into the group at large as we were going through this whole thing. But then when it finally came to the day of my reading, they ended up telling me not, you know, not such specific things, but kind of. I mean, it wasn't as specific as I was maybe expecting. But then again, they kind of hit the highlights. They kind of said, okay, when you're 43, this is going to be a big energy shift. When I'm 50, there's going to be another one. You know, you're going to get married, you're going to adopt some kids or whatever. And so they kind of tell me a roadmap. They told me my parents are going to have a long life. And so, you know, at this point, I would give myself the same advice that I would give you, is that, you know, you can go to any intuitive reader, and it's up to you whether you choose to believe what they're telling you or not. Because in my model of the world, we really do have choices, and we really do have, I think, possible futures. And so I brought this up to them, and I said, well, what if, you know, what if this is like my highest good, but I choose to go off the path? And they said, well, you can do that, but it'll be more difficult for you. And I was like, well, okay. I mean, and what that kind of told me was similar things to what happens when I take people out into their futures. Because what I want to do normally, like if you come in or you call me on the phone, I do sessions by phone. What we do is we're going to have you imagine first that you're going to be able to identify with your purpose. Like, why did the Creator put you on this planet at this time? And why, as a soul, like, what is your soul's purpose? Which to me is almost like, you know, when you read a book and the book has a theme, like, what is the theme of your soul that you've been doing over and over and over again for many, many lifetimes? And once you figure out what that is, then what I like you to do is I want you to imagine that you're going out into your future, into the lightest and brightest and best future that you can possibly create for yourself. Because that happy place, as I call it, exists in my mind just as sure as any other reality. And so when you go there and you're looking at your eyes and I say, well, what year is it? And you tell me, well, it's 2010 and I'm feeling great and all these wonderful things are happening. And I say, well, how do you feel? I feel like $1 million. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. According to the laws of quantum physics, or what we understand about it to this point, because you've observed it, you will be more likely to create that reality for yourself. And so this kind of goes along with the things that they told me. Like, all the things they told me to me, actually were surprisingly positive. They said, you know, I mean, did they tell me what I want to hear? I don't really think so, because they don't even know me. I mean, I don't even think they know what I want to hear. They told me I was going to live a pretty long life. They told me my parents were going to be in good health. They told me a couple years when maybe there might be a little health problem, but it's no big deal. I maybe just need to take care to avoid that. And so at this juncture, you know, I'm free to accept or reject what they're telling me, but actually, because I liked what they're telling me, I kind of like it. And so then we went through this big, so after all of us got our readings, I guess everybody was pretty satisfied with what they told us. And so we went back to the group again, and then that started another whole thing, like, well, you know, do you believe this or do you not, and what does that really mean? And certainly I can choose to believe it, and then because of that, then I can create my reality. Or did we really have a date with destiny? Did we really meet, and did we really decide that we were going to go through this process? And so it kind of came down to the fact that what we think this is like is that it's like a road map. Like, let's say you were going to go on vacation next month, and you're going to go up to New York City, and you know you're going to fly into JFK Airport, and you know you're going to stay at the Holiday Inn or wherever. I mean, I don't know where you're staying. But once you, let's say you didn't plan every evening out, and so one day you decide to go shopping, and the other day you want to go to Broadway and see a show. The other day you're going to just, I don't know, look at the museums. I mean, I don't know what you're going to do. You're going to go to the Statue of Liberty. So could these readings, and could any psychic reading, be seen more as a map? Like, you've got the itinerary for the trip, but that doesn't mean that you know what every single second of the trip is going to be like. But can future memory journeys, can intuitive advice be, instead of something that we're just clutching onto and just saying, should I tie my shoes today? I don't know whether I should even get out of bed this morning. You know, I think it's healthy and important to a certain degree, detach from that kind of energy and just say, what is the spirit of this information, and how can I use that kind of as a map to make my reality a more peaceful place to be? Because the thing that I've really personally appreciated about the astrologers over the years is that even more than a straight intuitive reader, I think that the astrologer really, I think there really is something to that. Because you may have, I don't know if you've had a reading or not, an astrology reading, but sometimes it is very, very profound. Some of the things that the astrologer can know about you that, in my opinion, how would they know that about you? And it was this that I went through in India, though, was just taking it to an even deeper level. I mean, because the things that they knew about us were mind-bending. And so to me, particularly the astrologer is someone who can offer a roadmap to help us get where we're going. And I think right now, because of all the energetic shifts, because there is a lot of inner turmoil, in my opinion, in the general population, I think, like I said, people listening to this right now, it's kind of like that, you know, this is like the wake-up call. We're all coming to. We're all starting to get it together. We're waking up from that slumber now, and we're ready to go make it happen. But I'm talking about the population at large is still starting to wake up, and we want to continue to see more and more of that. I mean, we really are seeing a lot of positive things, I think. I mean, we can choose to focus on the negative things, but if we can try to focus on the positive things, and the way I look at it is that when I first got into this business of doing past life regression therapies and energy healing and all those things, which is about 8 years ago now, hard to believe, time's flying, but people were a lot less open to it than they are now. And so I'm going to challenge you tonight to look at the positive. Turn the news off. You know, don't read that newspaper for a little while, and just start to focus on the positive. Think about how far we've come in the last maybe 10 years as far as opening up a little bit more to spirituality. And let's all hold the energy that we can create the reality and the world that we want to create as we're coming through this shift in energy by just holding a positive space for that. And don't look at all that negativity out there. Just think positive. Because when we're thinking positive and we're being positive and we're doing all that we can to create a more peaceful inner world, which let me tell you something that you already know, that this is a minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day struggle to maintain a peaceful disposition in my mind, unpeaceful, but gaining peaceful world. So just think about monitoring your thoughts, checking within your body. Is there a pain in my body? Do I have dis-ease in the body? Can I relax? And tune into that. Like if your leg hurts, you've got a sore arm, what is that about? Just ask, what is this pain about? You'll go, oh, that's about, I was late to work this morning, or, you know, or whatever. I mean, I don't know what it's about. And just ask, and you'll go, oh my gosh, that pain isn't about pain. It's about something that I'm hanging on to. And let it go. Just let it go. Don't worry. You know that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? I think we all are in a critical time right now where we really need to be thinking even more than we did before about monitoring our thoughts, finding peace within, and just living. Look at the future. Visualize the brightest future you can, and then just put your eyes to the road and just start taking one step at a time. One step in peace at a time. Occasionally looking up to the end result, which is the peaceful place that we want to be. Checking in with our body, taking care of yourself. Are you getting enough sleep? You know, all that kind of stuff. It's really, really, really important right now. I'm Dr. Shelley Kerr. You're listening to Beyond Reality. You can visit my website at www.galactichealing.org. I've got information about my books, about different classes. I have a new place in Texas that just opened up. So if you get on my website under the events page, you'll be able to see that I'm going to start teaching more healing classes, energy healing classes. The ones I enjoy teaching the most are gems and minerals. I also teach an energy healing modality called galactic healing and Reiki and all kinds of things. All of this stuff, whatever you're interested in doing, all of the messages you're hearing right now about healing and learning new things, and just follow your heart, follow your intuition, check things out, be open to it, learn new healing modalities. All of this is so needed right now, you guys. So just take it one day at a time, and everything's going to be wonderful. You're listening to Beyond Reality. And be sure and check in with the show over the next couple weeks when we will be hearing from Dan Millman, Way of the Peaceful Warrior, Fred Allen Wolf from the movie What the Bleep, and Jean-Claude Coven, Going Deeper. Thanks for tuning in, and have a blessed evening.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.